This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Bring us in, boss.
All right. Hello once again, and thank you for joining us here on the Polykill Podcast. This is episode 36. As always, we are your hosts. I am Travis, the retro gaming enthusiast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. My favorite color is orange.
That's weird.
Really? Why?
Because my favorite color is orange, too.
Good God.
I think I knew that about you. No. I've met two other people, three other people in my life that ever gives that answer.
Huh.
Yeah. It's usually like blue or green or some weird purple shit. But no.
It's an eye-catching color,
orange.
Man.
Orange. Yeah. The color of light.
Sometimes, yeah.
The sun. That's where I'm going from that.
So who are you?
I'm Jake. I'm the other dude on the podcast, and I don't really collect games anymore because I put some sort of moratorium on buying games for 6 months at the start of the new year like some idiot. But anyway, I still do have a bunch, and I play a bunch sometimes when I have time, but you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at the McAxel.
That's right, and if you're new to the show, we're just a couple guys who, under the immense pressures of life, try to find time to play the games that we have.
Exactly, and that's what the show's all about.
And if you'd like to follow us together at once, because you hate us individually, you can at Polykill on Twitter. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. You can find us on the Cartridge Club, cartridgeclub.org, it's short for organism.
Orgasm.
And you can talk to us on the forums there. Please reach out to us via email, polykillpodcast@gmail.com.
Please do so.
Rate us on whatever you use to listen to us.
Yeah.
And subscribe to our sad, lonely YouTube channel.
Mm,
we sometimes put videos there.
Yeah, when we have time.
They're evidently not great. All right, so.
We're not catching on.
Into the show meet.
Dude, let's get into the show meet.
Recent pickups and radar is what we always do about this town.
It usually is.
Now, I'll let you talk about your second, because yours is kind of a big deal to you.
It is a big deal to me.
But I picked up like a fancy TV, essentially. Well, it was fancy in the 90s.
Right.
Yeah,
so
maybe the late 80s.
So yeah, as usual, you're about 30 years behind.
Yeah, it's called a PVM, Professional Video Monitor, I believe. often used by like newsrooms and hospitals back in the day.
Yeah.
And I finally picked one up. It's only 14 inches, but by God, it makes old school games look so crisp.
Very nice. Yeah,
so
it does.
Crisp.
Now, I didn't get a good up-close look at it.
Well, you are too.
But I did notice it, I guess from a further distance than mm-hmm. one would play a game to it. And it did look nice and crisp.
Yeah, really sharp, good contrast, it's good saturation. I was in awe. It was good. So what did you pick up, though?
Well, see, I only picked up one game.
Now, we've been waiting on you to pick this one up because it's a big deal.
It's a big deal to me. I've been excited about this game for a couple of years, and thank God the hype was real and actually paid off, and this is Horizon Zero Dawn. This is a game I've been excited about ever since it was, like, the concept art was leaked years ago, and then eventually leading up to the announcement, and then a couple of E3s, and then bam, whammo, here it is after a few delays, and my God, it's been worth the wait. So, pretty excited about that.
It does look real, real titties. And it's exciting for you because you've been holding off from buying a game. So, this is the first
Correct.
Game you've been able to actually acquire in a couple months.
I mean, honestly, it's been 3 months since I bought a game.
Yeah.
Because the last game that I got was, I think, the Metro series. And that was like
Sounds
a
right.
pre-Christmas.
It
like a week
right.
before Christmas. So I'm right at 3 months at this point. So
cool.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll talk more about your experiences with it here in a while.
Yes. Yes, we shall, by God.
But that's really cool, man.
I'm excited.
I'm happy for you.
Whoop.
Games on my radar for the rest of the month. Mass Effect Andromeda is finally coming.
You know what? This is a weird one for me. Because I never finished any of the early Mass Effect games.
Whoa.
At all.
Whoa. Shame on you.
I know. And at this point, it's almost like it's such a huge undertaking. You know, it's like, you know what you should do? You should go play all these big RPGs. You know, it's just
right.
kind of like, you know, I want to, but the first one did not hold up well.
Yeah.
At all, in my opinion.
Because
I've gone
that,
back
yeah.
a couple of times. I'm like, this is pretty bad.
There's some neat things about it. Like, you know, Mass Effect 2 and 3, I believe you could just scan planets for stuff.
Right.
But on that one, you could actually go to the planets and run around on them. That, the vehicle that you rode around on was quite obnoxious to use.
Oh yeah, I remember.
But just the fact that you
yeah.
could go to different planets was neat. I mean,
yeah.
they weren't like
yeah.
high detail. Wasn't like, you know, even the No Man's Sky level,
right?
You know,
right.
of that. I mean,
right.
but you wished it was. That's what you wanted.
Correct.
That's what people wanted.
Correct.
But yeah,
the reason I'm saying that Andromeda is weird for me, is I feel like there has been little to no hype for this game. Like, I feel like a March release is kind of weird for a game this size. To me, this is a big flagship entry for EA. It's a BioWare game. I feel like there's been very little marketing. I mean, I've seen like YouTube commercials and stuff, but I mean, that stuff is catered to me. Like, I don't feel like I've seen, I haven't felt a big reaction to this game, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's a really
good social
point.
Media.
Yeah.
And I feel like the release timeline is weird. And apparently, like, you know,
I think it's been overshadowed by the Switch and Horizon and some of the.
I mean, maybe, but like they barely showed off this game at all until they canceled multiplayer beta. Like, they didn't show a lot of gameplay until like a month ago. And maybe that's good. Maybe that's for the best.
You think they're not proud of it?
Maybe they're just trying something new. You know, maybe they're not proud of it. I don't know. But I feel like maybe they're just trying a different approach. But still, it just I am intrigued because the game does look neat. But it's just kind of weird for me because it feels kind of like a more of a whimper of a release than an actual, my God, we're finally getting another Mass Effect. I don't feel that from anybody that I follow.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's a little rare for me to be excited about a new release.
Especially an RPG.
Yeah, and you know, I've played the first three. I played them out of order. I played them 2, 1, and then 3. But really enjoyed my time with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool world.
Yeah.
It's BioWare. It's well written.
I guess one thing that, you know, when it was first announced, I was a little miffed because I liked. It seemed like they had set out to make it a 3-part series, and it was kind of neatly packed, and it had a, you know, it ended, you know, like it should. I mean, I thought it came to a resolution at the end.
Sure.
A lot of people were happy with it, but it felt like it ended, and then they're like, oh, we like the money from that. Let's keep going with it. So
yeah. But I mean,
this
granted,
is new characters and stuff like that. So
exactly.
It's a new part of the world.
Apparently decades after the last
which is
one.
Fine. So,
and, you know, I don't blame. Like, from a marketing standpoint, I get why it kind of looks like a cash-in or maybe like a cash cow. But also, I mean, BioWare spent a long time making this world.
Sure.
And by world, I mean universe.
It's really good.
So, you know, cool for them to getting to revisit that or maybe use some unused stuff from prior.
No, I agree with you.
But that's cool now. I'm glad that you're excited. You think you'll get it one day, or you think it's just kind of like a...
Yeah, man. If I get through my current long plays, it might be a game I buy.
Really?
Pretty soon, yeah, because I have been kind of itching for it. I kind of miss Mass Effect a little bit, and just I think it took it's been a couple years since the last one was out, so
yeah,
looking forward to
it. It's 5 years, actually.
Yeah, it's been a while. So March 21st, it's dropping on Xbox One, PS4, and PC, so
ball
looking
out.
Forward to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put anything down, you know.
Nothing you're excited
nothing,
about?
I mean, not really. Like I said, Mass Effect is one that's kind of like, oh, neat, but I doubt I'll ever get it. I might, because it might be a nice way to get into the series without having.
Oh yeah,
you know. To sure.
I think honestly, I mean, I played 2 first, and I didn't feel like I missed much. I mean, there's a few nods, you know, in references, but I mean, you could read about one if you really wanted to and jump in. I think 2 is really good. 3 is pretty solid.
Cool. I mean, I have them all with EA Access.
Sure.
They're all in there, so I can play them whenever I want.
Absolutely.
So cool. Yeah, but so, I don't really have anything. Apparently, Ghost Recon Wildlands is pretty good.
Oh, right.
That released.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I'm kind of interested in that, but that's another multiplayer heavy kind of game. So,
yeah. Well, Nintendo did something this past week.
I hear that they released something.
The Switch.
The Switch, girl.
Yeah, dude. People like it. That's great.
They do. They do like it. I've seen very little complaints. I've seen not a lot of what I would consider launch issues. Seem to be fairly smooth.
Yeah, I would think for a new innovative tech like Nintendo typically releases for us, the issues that have been there are there, but they're not, you know, it's not like, what was it, Sony that released, was it the PS3 or something? Something that released that was just awful, and they had to recall a bunch of them. Maybe it was Xbox. Oh, the Red Ring of Death.
Yeah,
it's nothing like that
happened.
Nothing
right.
that serious.
No,
you know,
no.
The Joy-Con's not connecting, and they can probably give like a firmware update for that. And I think there were some issues with the screen being forced back into the dock that was causing some scratches. If you do it gingerly and treat your Nintendo Switch like a lady.
Like a lady.
Or I don't know, just don't mistreat it, essentially. It'll be fine. So I'm excited about that. Zelda got great reviews, which I, you know, Zelda, hell yeah. Everybody wants some good-ass Zelda.
Everybody's excited about it.
Tens out of tens, great reviews all the way down the board, 5 out of 5, stars all over the place. Nobody really had a bad thing to say about it.
No. I mean, I've heard some people say, you know, it's not as good as everyone else lets on, but I think those people are just kind of being, you know, like some people are. And maybe they just have a different opinion, but people seem to love this game.
Just to go against the grain a little bit?
Yeah, maybe. Just be
bring everybody down a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, you need that. You know, you don't want to... You don't want everybody to overhype it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I don't want that. So, yeah. Anyway, it sounds like it's good. And
it's a system seller for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've thought about picking it up for the Wii U, but I don't know. I might just wait until my Switch days happen. Get the old Zelda-roo.
Get the old Zelda-rooski.
Yep. Did hear, like, I was excited about Bomberman. I heard that's not too good.
That's not that good.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Just skip that one.
Sure.
Blaster Master's coming out soon, if it hasn't already.
It has already.
It came out
I think
tonight,
Diego's playing that.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot to look forward to with the Switch. Just it needs a few more games to come out for me. It might be a kind of a Black Friday thing maybe for me or holiday or something like that. So I'll go the summer without it, see what happens. Maybe some other games coming out for it we don't even know about.
Well, hopefully.
Well, I do hope that. Because I can really only name maybe 10 at this point. So let's hope that that library gets deeper and deeper.
Indeed.
Gaming Resolutions 2017. Let's see. Don't think, Jacob, that I did anything.
Okay. So basically everything is as it was.
I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to say I've not made any changes to my life.
Okay.
In that regard.
Nothing has really changed for me. I did not really put in any time in The Witcher since the last episode due to a couple of things happening in my gaming routines. However, I did play some more retro games last night.
Yeah.
So I'll move that to orange instead of red.
That's good. What'd you play?
Well, played some Power Blade.
Yeah.
Had some fun with that. Was awful at it, honestly. But had fun with it.
It was a fun game. Fun game.
Played some Mario Kart 64, some F-Zero X. Played a little old school ECW game.
Yeah.
A WCW versus NWO game.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
Fighting Force.
Played a lot of Punch-Out. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
You did well with that.
I did pretty well.
That was before you got hammered.
I did. Get hammered. And by hammered, I mean
he was yelling for more wrestling games by the end of the night.
I was yelling. And calling his collection awful and weak because he didn't have good games. And yeah, that's not true, though. It was funny. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I was uptight.
He was.
It's a good collection.
But yeah, I played a shit ton of retro games last night, so I had fun with that.
That's good. That's good, man. Glad to have you over any time for that.
Always.
Did you add anything to the last show? Sorry, I about jumped ahead. What happened last episode? Jesus, so, I about skipped it over.
Oh my God, what happened the last episode?
Previously on Polykill. Horizon Zero Dawn is right around the corner for Jake, and Trav is excited about the coming Nintendo Switch release. Trav adds Quantum Break and Bayonetta 2 to his pile of shame while only beating a couple NES games. Jake continues with The Witcher as well as putting some time into the multiplayer of Overwatch and Titanfall 2. Trav's been dabbling with Jet Force Gemini and Demon's Crest on the side. Video game genres outside of their comfort zone serves as the topic of discussion.
All right, so back to where I was heading before before about skipped over the previously segment.
Don't do that.
Added to the backlog.
Right.
Obviously, you added something.
I did. I added Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay. Where do you want to talk about this? Because you got it all over this page.
It's all over the place.
Do you want to save it for your long play?
I'm going to save it for long play. Yeah.
All right, so you added Horizon Zero Dawn, obviously. You've been waiting for that.
Correct.
You know, been talking about it for months. I didn't add anything, believe it or not.
Well, that's weird for you.
Yeah.
But to be honest, your budgetary allocation probably went to that PVM.
Boy, did it. Now, it wasn't, you know, there are more expensive PVMs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did. This little block of time was eaten up with PVM money. Now, we'll say, and maybe I should have said this on the radar, but I was talking about, you know, I have this Xbox gift card, $15.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was kind of torn between, because The Witcher 3 and Rise of the Tomb Raider have been on sale on Xbox. And I don't even know if they're still on sale.
I think it's due tomorrow.
Okay, good. Okay, because I'm still thinking about it. Ooh. I'll probably get at least one of them. Knock $15 off of...
either $25 or $20, right?
Yeah, well, $25 Witcher or $20 Rise of the Tomb Raider. Now, I understand the better values with The Witcher. I understand that.
100%.
I understand that. that. But if it's a game I'm actually going to finish and play through, you know, I'm looking at Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's a series I'm more familiar with. I've already played the first one.
Sure.
I've been itching for more of it.
You know,
so I got a little bit to think about over the next 24 hours of where I want to spend this gift card.
Well, no, that's good. I mean, it's a they're both great games. Now, I did sing the praises of Rise of the Tomb Raider on this podcast.
You did. Yeah, no, you've enjoyed both.
And there is absolutely complete understanding on my point of view of this dilemma in which you find yourself. So,
yeah, just the number of hours, you know, I've been intrigued by The Witcher 3 the more you talk about it.
Yeah, you know, so good.
It is, and it looks pretty.
Oh, I guess I should mention.
You'll do, please.
Because it's sort of a pickup, but not
that's
really.
That's right. Yeah, you tried to sneak one past us there.
Well, I didn't. I didn't actually buy a game, but I did buy the season pass for The Witcher. Wild Hunt. Yeah.
How much was that?
It was $15.
Okay. All right.
And that gives me the Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine, or I can't remember the names of the expansions, but they're two expansions. It's about like 40 more hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
So, and stupid amount of
you
gameplay.
You didn't count it against your resolution because it's not
a full game.
Not a full game.
It's an add-on.
But it's still 30. It's still longer than most games.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I justified it to myself by saying I'm not buying a game.
There you go.
You know, it's an expansion pass. It's and like, I never said I wouldn't buy DLC. I never said that.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
And if I did, and call me out on it, and I'll just
return it.
No. I can't do it. It's ditched to purchase. But anyway, so what was your point about the Rise of the Tomb Raider and Witcher there?
I don't know.
Where were you driving at?
I was just, I was thinking about, you know, things added to the backlog, and I don't know, my mind jumped over to that. Like I said, it should have maybe been on the radar or something, but it's not.
I got you.
We'd already moved on past that
segment. We had moved on.
So I just wanted to bring it up. But ultimately, I added nothing to my backlog. A rare occurrence for me. I'm usually always adding something, but I didn't. But games knocked off the backlog. Now, that I did do.
What'd you knock off here, buddy?
Well, I got a little bit of a serial kill.
Ooh.
Now, do you know what a serial kill is?
Why don't you explain it to those listening?
I'll be the
audience. No, explain it.
Well, it's a new term we've come up with that if you beat a game that's on your backlog, you just get a wild hair right there in your scrunt, and you say, hey, I just want to play this. I don't feel like playing the games I've already set out to play and told myself I would play and promised myself I would play and set out to play on purpose. I want to play this random thing.
Think Goof
Troop. Instead. I think Goof Troop. Yeah. Well, you know, I got a little saucy one night, and I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to take Ariel downtown.
Ooh.
So I played a little bit of Little Mermaid there on the NES. Probably the easiest game ever made.
I wanted to play it so bad.
But, hey, man, pretty colorful. Capcom, Little Mermaid, what are you going to do?
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Fun. So I serial killed that, just snuck right up on it, got it off the shelf, beat it. And also beat Quantum Break.
Quantum Break, you finally finished that. Now, it didn't take you that long.
It's not a long game. It wouldn't. No, it's not long. I mean, a good, almost 2 hours of the game is just sitting there watching a movie.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it's a great game. Very, very good idea. And I've talked about this before. It kind of has me interested in what it would be like if more games embraced, this episodic crossover or more FMV, just because, you know, graphics are to a point now where they're pretty close.
Well, see, now you say this, and I believe we've had this conversation. I don't know if it was recorded legally or illegally. I don't know if we were phone tapped and someone has it somewhere. But anyway, we talked about this. You specifically mentioned that you would kind of like to see FMV come back.
Maybe if it's
done well.
Yeah, if Quantum Break is like the first try at it and it did so well, I think, you know, for future iterations could really make it much more seamless, because I didn't mind the episodes.
Sure.
Although they were good, they built on the story. Games have a really tough time getting me into the story if they're just leaving audio logs everywhere and
agreed.
You know,
I don't do well with that. I appreciate
the depth.
The effort
that
goes into creating depth. But, you know, when I'm running around shooting things or, you know, trying to solve a puzzle or jumping from platform to platform or whatever, you know, the last thing that I really am paying attention to is some, you know, disembodied voice giving me flavor text to the world. I just...
Even if you got to read something like an old
read
email.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Now, Quantum Break was full of that.
It was. Man, it was.
Lots of it. But anyway, the point I was getting about FMV, are you familiar with the game Her Story?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay, so that's a full FMV game.
Oh, okay.
And there is a new FMV game that's also, I think, full FMV. And for those of you who don't know what FMV means, it means
full motion video.
Yeah, so yeah, it has full motion videos. I'm just quizzing you a little bit there. But there's a game coming. It's a some type of detective story, like some kind of serial killer investigation thing, and it's all FMV, and it's coming to PS4 and PC.
So it kind of makes me think, like, did you play any LA Noire?
A little bit, yeah.
So when they had you read the faces of people, but correct. It was, the facial animations there were really good.
Especially
for a time, like, I think it was Team Bondi that did a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
I thought they were overworked and sued and all that. But anyway, yep. I thought they did really well with that, but I was like, it lacks something. It's still a bit Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Like, if those segments could transition as smoothly as Quantum Break did into you're actually watching, like, a real person, like, act this out, that could have been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been really, really fun. So
agreed.
Just thinking the possibilities like that is kind of where my head is. Like, it doesn't have to be episodic. It can just be fused in there, somehow. And
sure.
As long as it's not campy and cheesy, like old school FMV was.
Right.
It could be done well. It'd be fun.
I always think about what's his name? Oh, God. He was in Rocky Horror Picture Show. The lead guy.
I don't know.
Oh, well. It's going to drive me crazy until I think of it. Anyway, this is really sort of...
We have Google machines in front of
us. I know.
You want me to go deep talk?
Yeah, but it was from Command & Conquer game, and he had these really cheesy lines, and they become kind of a meme. I want to say it starts with a T.
Is it Tim Curry?
Tim Curry. I don't know why I couldn't think of that name. Probably because I'm hungover. But anyway, yeah. There's some really hilarious FMV of Tim Curry in Command & Conquer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've seen that. So a few other...
Also, I just solved a dilemma for you.
Yeah?
You check your IMs.
What's that now? I don't know how.
Check your IMs.
Okay.
Your Google IMs.
Yeah. I don't know how to use a Mac, but here I go. Yeah. I'm in there.
Okay.
let's see. Oh, you gave me a code.
I did give you a code there.
What's
buddy.
That do?
Well, if you put it into your Xbox, you'll be able to download Rise of the Tomb Raiders.
For absolutely nothing at all?
Well, I mean, I had it in reserve and just didn't really need it. So, yeah, you can have it.
Well, thanks, dude.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to get both?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Hell yeah. Well, next episode, I'm going to be talking about.
Next episode, you're going to give me a game? Is that what you said?
Oh, man.
I'm kidding.
You're always welcome to my house. Play any games I got?
I'm kidding, buddy. I don't like back now.
A few more points about that Quantum Break.
Yeah, so sorry. I derailed those completely.
That's fine. That FMV, real good for that storytelling. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
But, once all the glitz and the glamour and the time travel and the, wow, look how good this looks kind of wears off. And, underneath the hood, it's kind of a simple shooter with some platforming elements. And even a lot of the platforming stuff wasn't kind of good.
It was a lot. There was a lot of window dressing.
There was.
I think that's the best way to see this game.
The weird part was it wasn't until I was maybe 2/3 of the way through the game before I was like, oh, it's just shooter. It took me a while to kind of figure out that's what it was.
Dressed itself up as this, I don't know. I think the game did what it set out to do. I just don't know if what it did was that impressive in the end.
Yeah.
I think it's neat. I think it started a lot of conversations, drove conversations this.
Yeah, I love talking about it. It's good.
But good fodder. Yeah, I mean, it's not a great game.
Yeah, good
game. It's a B.
I would say so.
I would give it a B.
I'd give it a B+ for the innovative attempt.
Sure.
Let's see. What else? I beat something else, dude.
Yeah, you did.
Guess what it was?
And you beat it the good way this time.
I did.
Finally.
I sat down and just took it to town. Now, I wrote a pretty decent piece about this on the forums. Did you know that I did that?
Now, I think you told me about that. I just didn't read it.
Okay, well, I wrote on the forums at cartridgeclub.org, short for organism.
Orgasm.
Is that, I talk about, how bad I wanted this game. I got it. I had to go through a little bit of hell to get it. Got
you
it.
Did, yeah.
Finally played it.
Yeah.
Beat it wrong twice. Like, me and this game, we kind of have a relationship at this point. It's kind of like, me and you. So finally, I sat down to play it. I was stuck. I looked up online. I was like, hey, yo, why am I suddenly stuck again? And then once it explained to me that part, the whole game clicked for me.
Oh,
because.
Nice. So were you missing like a
whole concept
of
the game, which is, it kind of reminds me of Super Mario World. You know how every Mario up to this point, you start the level, you end the level. But for Super Mario World, there were like some exits you could go through that, alternatively, that would unlock little paths. Right?
Okay.
So I found Demon's Crest really works like that, but they're necessary. You got to find this alternative part of each level. So you can go through the level, beat the boss. That's good. You know, that's great. But then you have to go back through the level again with whatever you acquire and unlock some other part of that level and go through and beat something else. But it's just like you got to find this these parts.
Okay.
So you had to explore more than I thought you did. I thought it was just platform through, beat things up, win.
Gotcha.
And that's what I was doing.
But there's more to it.
Yeah, like if you get a guy that can fly, well, then you better take that guy that can fly and fly around every goddamn corner of the map in every single part of the map.
Okay.
So don't just go to the next part and think that's where it is. You got to go back to the start of the game and do it over again. You find things that way. A little Metroidvania.
I was just going to say this is Metroid.
But with an overworld map instead of traveling through.
Okay.
So, and suddenly I was like, okay. And then the game clicked and it was way more fun and it's actually really not that hard at that point. So, I mean, I still recommend it. I think it's good. There's still a lot I didn't do.
Beautiful game. Love the style. Love the atmosphere.
It really good on
the has
TV
a lot of atmosphere too. For a 16-bit game, I felt.
It does. I think it lacks a little bit on the soundtrack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I noticed that.
But visually, it's really, really neat.
Maybe play that with some Slayer in the background.
You totally could. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I did play. I turned some metal up to play it one night just because.
Nice. Because it's a metal game.
It really is.
Let's be honest.
And that was it for Games Upbeat. So a wide range of genres. Little Mermaid, Demon's Crest. I mean, how polar opposite could you be?
Quite.
And then Quantum Break right there in the middle. So yeah. I got my hands in everything.
Yeah, you did. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I beat nothing. And it's just been that kind of world for me lately.
Yeah, it's just who you are.
I tried to beat a couple games last night, you know, little short ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, Power Blade's probably still a couple hours. But
I mean, Punch-Out, I could have powered through, but I just, you know, got drunk. So that happened.
That happens. Well, if you get drunk and you want to power through, just remember this episode is sponsored by Cowden Technologies, LLC. Caltech specializes in building full-stack web applications utilizing modern technologies like Ruby on Rails and AngularJS. If you're looking to take your business idea to market or have a software need that can support your goals, be sure to contact Cowden Technologies for a free consultation. To get started on building and launching your concept, email sales@cowden.tech. That is sales@cowden.tech.
Dot tech, girl.
All right, moving right along.
Long play.
Long play,
girl.
I was talking there for a while. Why don't you take off? Tell us all about Horizon Zero Dawn. Give us some of those sweet-ass McAxel. Put us in a time and place. Take us on a ride.
All right.
Let's go there.
I'll do that. So, first of all, if you haven't followed me on Instagram or Twitter, you probably haven't seen the screenshots that I've taken. I've taken some beauties that I've put out there for everyone to see. They're marvelous visually. So if you've seen screenshots and if you've seen video of the game, you kind of know the world that you're going to be in. It's, I wouldn't say post-apocalyptic. I mean, it's beyond that. It's like the apocalypse happened, you know, thousands of years ago instead of like 20 years ago. So
it's happened and they've recovered.
They recovered to an extent. Like there's a whole new civilization, a whole new way of thinking, all this.
They've adjusted.
Adapted. Right. Yep. It's there. The adaptation period's over and a new civilization is fully embedded generations later. But the game itself is what I would consider a mix between The Witcher and Far Cry, structurally. It falls very much into those two things. It's a big overworld, so a lot of people might make comparisons to an Ubisoft game. In my opinion, Far Cry is the one that fits that the best.
And the reason that I also think that is because it's bright and colorful, and I feel like a lot of Ubisoft open world games are like that.
They can
unlike
be.
A Bethesda game, which is very gray and brown.
Right.
These seem to be bursting with a lot of green and foliage, and
yes.
That's what it looks like to me.
And I would say actually the predominant colors in this game are like your reds and oranges actually.
Okay.
So, and I think it's probably plays into like the dawn in the title, which I think is really interesting. The game itself, the world, you know, I'm not going to get into spoilers because I honestly don't know enough about the game and the story yet to spoil a lot, but you start off, as a child, in the game. Like the opening scene is you as a baby and the guy that you have been entrusted to, very matriarchal society, complete. Everything's run by a group of old lady elders and you're an outcast. So they give you to this other outcast to be raised.
Because so why are you an outcast?
You don't have a mother.
Okay.
That's
you're a lady bastard.
You're motherless. Yeah.
Lady bastard.
Correct.
Is that a term?
No. We'll
your Bastardess?
Bastardess. I like it.
Okay, cool. We'll go with that.
That's a good band name.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, you start out as a child, and then you have some experiences as a child that teach you that you're an outcast. You're shunned by other people. You're raised outside the village. Other kids call you names, throw rocks at you, etc. So it kind of sets up this whole motivation for her to become a badass, which she does and does in spades. But the game plays just brilliantly. Mechanically, it's like... It's so weird for me to think about, like, the company that made this game, Guerrilla Games, they made first-person shooters up until now. Like, exclusively for the last 20 years, they made first-person shooters.
What were some of those?
Killzone.
Okay.
They made all the Killzone games. So, Killzone Mercenary, 1, 2, 3, and Shadowfall. So, they made shooters. And then they transitioned to this, you know, third-person action adventure, teen-rated. Like, it's very mellow in terms of, like, violence, even though there is lots of hunting and shooting bows and stuff. But
bit of survivalism?
To an extent, there's that. But it's not, you know, you have to eat to stay alive or anything like that.
Okay.
The hunting is done literally just to obtain parts to do upgrades, you know, and clear out field to get from point A to point B. Because there are these herds of machines that, you know, are like deer or like horses. There's, like... an equivalent to pretty much everything as a machine until to a certain point. At a certain point, it gets ridiculous, like with thunder jaws and things like that. But all the creatures have cool names, and the dialogue is good. It's voiced by one of my favorite voice actors, Ashley Birch, the main character, Aloy.
Dude, did I know? I don't think I knew that.
You didn't know that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, she voices the main character.
At least if I did, I completely forgot until just now. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's her first actual leading role in a game, which is kind of weird to me.
And Chloe's close.
Close, but yeah, but still not leading.
Right, right.
Yeah. So,
would you say there's? I mean, is there a lot of dialogue? A
lot of dialogue.
Really,
a lot of dialogue. Lots of cutscenes. Beautifully acted, and the game is just beautiful to look at. Just ridiculous. It's got one of the best photo modes I've ever had in a game. I like photo modes, and this one does. You know, it's got all the camera controls. Plus, you can. There's the time of day slider. So, like, if you're in a perfect position in the mountain, but the lighting's not quite right, you can just slide the slider back and forth.
Oh, back and forth.
And move the sun wherever you want it. So you can go completely at night or just take it to dawn.
And that's not explained as, like, a power of yours. It's just, like, tool.
It's just the game tool, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool. This is just for photo mode. So.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So if you, when you exit photo mode, does it go back to what it was?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're very generous in terms of photo mode. But anyway, like, I really can't say, and I've talked to three other people that have played this game extensively, and none of us can come up with a complaint about this game at all.
Wow.
Like, at all. I can't, like, the inventory system's fine. I mean, I hate inventory systems in general. Usually they're all clunky and shitty, and you just kind of deal with them.
I mean, they're just a necessary evil.
Like, the economy's cool, the dialogue is cool, visually it's amazing, the soundtrack's baller. It has a dynamic UI, so I love that. So you can basically, the UI just turns on when you need it. Otherwise, it's just full screen game. The bow controls are amazing. You have spears that you can hit things with. You can take over machines. You can, like, get close to them and then, like, basically zap them with this thing and tame them and then ride them. I mean, it's amazing. And, like, if you have a PS4 and you don't have this game, you're doing yourself a disservice, 100%, because this is the best game on PS4.
And it's hands down. single player only. That's cool.
The best game on PS4. I shit you not.
That's excellent, man.
Yeah. And I'm not saying exclusive, like, single player game. There's nothing better than this, in my opinion.
Wow.
On PS4. I can't make that statement on everything.
Especially with that new Zelda coming out, it seems like a lot of people are like, hey, both of these are great.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it's amazing.
Great, dude. Well, I'm really glad you're having fun with it. Yeah. How far along you in it do you think you are?
About 8 hours in.
Okay.
Not very far, story-wise, because I just walk around and take pictures and hunt things and do little side quests and, you know, just, yeah. Yeah.
Nice, man.
It's great. It's great.
Well, I added a game last week to my backlog because it was sent to me by our friend Diego Avila.
Avila!
And so that was Bayonetta 2. And, wow, Let's just say this game is fucking bananas.
Oh, yeah.
It is a fucking basket of bananas.
Yeah,
holy cow. So I'd never played Bayonetta 1. And actually, I think the disc that he has, it has both in it. But I went for 2 because I was like, you know, this is what I set out to play. And who knows, maybe I won't like it. You know, I don't
know.
But I jumped in and, wow, dude, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. No idea.
It don't matter.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's not really even button mashy. There is an element of strategy to it. You know, I know what the buttons do. You have to dodge, and dodging's good because then you get better chance to attack, like slows time if you dodge and attack just right. And dude, I don't even know where to start in describing this game for people that may not be familiar with it.
I mean, honestly, the only way you can describe this game is tell someone to go watch a video of it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's like so, Devil May Cry fever dream is kind of how I think
of
it.
And I think that's actually really apt, but God, what was I going to say? Oh, it's so Sega, too. It's the most Sega fucking thing I've ever seen. In
musically,
my life.
Too. Like the music. We were having this discussion about Sega and their music. It's always somehow.
It's like upbeat jazz when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's like, this makes no sense. I don't know if they just don't talk to their composer and say, sync this up with gameplay. They just like, make some cool music and we'll put it in.
That's what it feels like.
But I've noticed that even in Bayonetta 1, it's like, this music doesn't really fit.
Yeah,
it's
at least just not with what I'm used to in terms of gaming. Yeah,
I agreed.
Yeah, what is going on? I have no idea. It's awesome, though.
I mean, you're basically a witch whose suit is made of her hair, who has pistols in the heels of her boots.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the beautiful part of that game, is it doesn't have to make sense. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's pure escapism.
There's a sequence early on in that game where you fight this very colorful dragon and you're
on the side of the building.
Yeah. That's intense and awesome. It just looks great and it's fun. But it's so crazy in terms of how each time you engage in a boss fight, or what seems to be a boss fight, they're so huge and larger than life and massive and scary that I don't see how it's going to continue to top itself for each boss. Like, you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
At a certain point, you're like, where is the, where do we climax, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, I'm like, is this the end of the game? Because this seems fucking massive
this
and
is
crazy.
Epic. Yeah.
But it is fun. So thanks again, Diego, for that. And I'm having a blast with it.
Awesome.
And it's been the game that I've been playing on the Wii U tablet while Tracy plays Skyrim. It's how we spend time together, is in silence.
Nice.
Letting out sporadic fucks, you know, together. It's a husband and wife thing. It's 2017. That's what you do.
There you go.
It is 2017, right?
Yeah, still. Cool. Yeah, we're 3 months in at this
point.
That's
good. That's really good.
Yeah.
SideQuest, games on the side.
SideQuest!
You've been playing some of that multiplayer stuff, man.
I've been digging it, digging in hard, spending a lot of time playing multiplayer with my friends. I've enjoyed it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I've been playing Overwatch, doing the ranked matches in competitive season 4.
Yeah.
Doing not bad. I kind of went on a bit of a losing streak.
Pussy.
You know, it's difficult when you're not teamed up with people that just don't play as a team, you know, because Overwatch is basically a fighting game.
Sure.
In strategically wise, there's this rock, paper, scissors to pretty much every character, and if people are just, you know,
willing
not
to use
familiar
the rock
with that.
All the time.
Well, yeah, and you know, just playing Call of Duty when it's not Call of Duty, it's Overwatch. You can't just run and go try to kill things. That's not how you play the game.
Okay.
It's about taking the objective. It's about countering other players and other characters and working together and syncing up your ultimates and all this stuff. So, you know, you don't have to play that way to have fun. You just kind of have to play that way to win, if that makes sense.
I got you. And you played with some folks in the club.
Yeah, I played with Flock of Nerds.
Yeah, nice.
Had a lot of fun. He was worried that he was going to drag us down, but we won. We won. I think most of the matches we played together. He and myself and James, my friend James.
Yeah.
We hopped on there one night, and man, we went to town.
That's good.
I've had some really good matches, though. I mean, I hate to brag.
No, hey,
but you know, I mean, it's competitive play, and I'm, you know, kicking ass. Like, I'm playing with like Soldier 76. Those of you who play Overwatch know that he's probably the most vanilla character, but he's one that if you're playing attack, he's very useful because he has a nice ultimate, he has healing, as well as a decent primary weapon and a cool secondary fire. So when you go to town with him, all you need to do is just stay alive. And so when you learn how to do that on attack, you can go to town. Like I played one match where I didn't die the whole round, which is kind of huge for me anyway. I got like a 17 player kill streak, ended up with 32 eliminations for the game. Was pretty proud of that.
You even downloaded a little app. You got holster.
I got a tracker app, so it lets me know my stats.
That's right.
But yeah,
I know your stats.
Yeah.
At all times.
Always. Got to know what my rankings are and how well I'm doing and how many hours I've sunk into this game with this character versus another character. And, you know, also been playing a lot with Sombra, having a lot of fun with her. And been playing some Titanfall 2 as well. They had some double XP events, dropped a new map or two, a new mode or two. Game continues to be fun and frustrating at the same time because it's challenge. Yeah. Some people in that game were just like, "How are you so good at this? Really? How are you so good?"
Maybe they play that as religiously as you do Overwatch.
Maybe so.
I got a little further into Dragon Quest Ocho.
Oh yeah, Dragon Quest Ocho.
Yeah.
Now that's one that you have been playing for a while, and you feel like you're inching closer and closer to completion.
Dude, I got to the final boss. I got to Rapthorn. Now, pwned me hard. Pwned me real hard.
Now, are you at a point where you can get back there easily?
Easily, as in...
Relatively easily?
I'll be pretty beaten by the time I get there.
Mm,
it's a bit of a gauntlet before. But actually, before you fight him, there's a little place that will recharge you all the way up.
Oh, that's nice.
But you can't save there, so you have to fight to get there still.
Gotcha.
Charge up and then go in.
Eh.
I got there, and damnedest thing, dude. So, I've been playing this game for what? Over a year, almost.
At least, yeah.
Nearing on a year. It's almost baseball season, so yeah, about a year. And I've sunk, I'm close to 70 hours. My save is about like 69 hours and 32 minutes, something like that. Like, it's getting close to what How Long to Beat says is about right. And I get to Rapthorn, and this is the ultimate boss. I believe he has two phases.
No.
He's tough.
Two forms. Ganondorf style.
Damn nah. Mm-hmm. And it's tough. It's really tough. Obviously. You should be. Harder than anything I've faced so far. It's great. It's what I expected. By God, I don't think I did any damage to him. So I was like, it was so hard to get there. It took me forever. I was like, let me just see online how much HP he has. Like maybe that'll help me out a little bit. Because I'm kind of over it. I'm like, let's just get this. Let's wrap this up. I mean, it's still fun, but it's like, I kind of want to move on with some other games.
Sure. Yeah. It's been a year.
And I don't think that's bad because I still have to come up with a way to beat him, even if I know how much life he had, you know?
Right.
Well, look on there. And I just kind of, I'm kind of skimming through the walkthrough, and someone's like, yeah, first wave, you should release all your monsters on them and let that give you, let them soak up some of the damage. I was like, release your fucking monsters? Like, what are you fucking talking about?
Have you missed an element of the game?
I missed like a whole fucking element. You can evidently like have monsters and release them and summon them and shit. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I still don't know. I still don't know how I missed that ever at all.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that there's that much to this game that you've been playing it for a year and still haven't found it.
I've made it, nobody's even mentioned it. I've made it so far in the game, too, and never really had a big issue without that.
So is that poor design or just...
I don't know, but maybe. I mean, I don't know, but but I'm going to have to try to do it without it because I'm not leaving where I'm at.
No,
so.
No.
But did I just Final Fantasy VII myself?
You may have.
Stay tuned. We'll see. I think it'll be fine. I think recommended level, I'm a little below that. So I think I'll level up a little bit more and see what happens.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's my, the saga continues with Dragon Quest, the Ocho. So now it's time for the Discush
Girl.
So this Discush is almost similar to our last episode. We talked about the comfort zone.
Right, a little more specific. We drilled down a little bit.
So, being guys that have bucket lists and backlogs, obviously that comes with a list of games that we set out to play like we know we should play.
Right.
It's like these, are games that are important to us as gamers. They're popular. We want to be in on conversations. We want to have a reference point for these good games.
Yeah, we do.
There's a lot of good franchises out there, man. There's so many good franchises.
So many good franchises. And so many good just, obviously standalone games. But there's some that are just perpetually good, perennially.
Sure. Good. Yeah. And, as a casual gamer, by the time you sift through the Metroids and the Marios and the Zeldas and the Kirbys or the God of Wars or the Halos or the Gears of Wars or this and that, and by the time there's still more.
Lots more.
There's still fucking more that you've not done.
Yeah.
So we're going to go over some franchises, unfamiliar franchises to us, or maybe they're not unfamiliar, but they're just ones we've not tapped into at all. And we're a little ashamed about it, maybe, or maybe we're just curious and we know that we should.
Yeah, I think that's, Yeah, maybe a little of both.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so I have a few more lists here than you, so let me take one.
You run with it, boy.
I don't know if I should start with this first one, because I feel like that's the biggest shameful one.
Oh, man. Start there.
You all right? All right. So, Pokemon. Yeah. I've never done it.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I downloaded the Pokemon Go app, and...
That's not Pokemon.
Well, I know, but that was, like, the only Pokemon thing that I have attempted.
Right.
And
now,
I was
You have a few, right? I mean, you got Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium.
I have a few of those, yeah. I even have a Pokemon N64. Okay.
Yeah, Pikachu.
Yeah. Now, I know a little bit about the Pokemans. Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I get the gist. Throw balls at them, catch them, tame them, fight with them, cultivate them, grow them, collect them, get them all. I get it. But I don't know. Just not done it. It sounds fun. Really does.
Yeah.
But I think a couple reasons why I never tried it. One, when it came out, I think I was just past the age. Like the group of kids below me were really into it, and people my age just were not.
Sure.
And it seemed like you shouldn't go backward.
Right. At that point, you're in sports prison.
It could have been.
Yeah.
You could. It's very, very true. You know, and like I said, I've gotten the gist, but the games seem long and a tad repetitive in a way, which hasn't excited me from the outside looking in. So if I got into it, I might get sucked in.
Okay.
But, you know, when I'm knowing what it is, I'm like, oh, so you just, okay, I see.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know, maybe I don't want to get into it. Never seen the movies or the show. I don't know that you have to. I don't know that it's important.
No. They came afterward. So they're supplemental materials.
I did notice that Pokemon Snap was short, and you know, unless someone tells me a bad idea, I might try it. I think it's a good way to know a little bit about the Pokemon. You get exposed to a lot of them.
Exposed.
It's like 4 hours.
Snap pictures exposed. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I see the loose connection.
Yeah, you do.
But I'm a bit... I mean, like I said, I've never seen the movies or the show, but I'm also a little turned off by, like, it seems like there's not a lot of narrative or story. Maybe there is. Maybe I just don't know. It seems like there's not a lot there to grab
hold of. It's not super deep. I mean, none of them are super deep.
Mm-hmm. Not that I need that in a game. It's
right.
I mean, I'm being honest with you. It's not that I need it.
It is a game that is best experienced in bursts. That's usually why it makes its home on handheld.
It's like a pooper game?
Well, no. I mean, usually longer than that, but it's I mean, it depends on how long it takes you to evacuate, I guess. But... But the thing about the Pokemon game is, you know, right now you're playing Dragon Quest VIII, right?
Sure.
So it's a turn-based RPG, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm.
So think of Pokemon as just a simplified JRPG. The gameplay loop is much simpler in terms of you don't really have to grind. But there are turn-based battles that are fun. The gameplay loop is fun because it's, you know... I'm facing this type of creature, so I need to counter with this type of creature. So there's some strategy involved in countering, like, you know, water with fire and rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. There's a thrill to catching them. Yeah. And, you know, there's some strategy, like getting them weak enough to catch but not knocking them out. And there's, you know, the joy of finding the rare ones, which... can come along at pretty much any time. And, you know, you get different types of Pokeballs and you meet some cool characters along the way. You have these random battles. If you walk through the tall grass, you'll fight wild ones. You know, I mean, it's just a game of fun little surprises. It's not overly deep. Just a colorful, fun, simple to play, but addictive series.
Well, I guess I'll ask you this. Maybe we will reach this universal... token at the end of each one of these, but where should you start if you have not played one?
You know what? I honestly would say, so I'll put it this way. When I jump into a new band, I always listen to their most recent entry first because I want to know where it's going.
Okay.
I don't want to start at the beginning and then become accustomed to it, then get disappointed, and then kind of have to break off my relationship with that band. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's kind of like starting a show that you know is canceled and doesn't end well.
Okay.
There's kind of like this disconnect, like, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
So what I would do, honestly...
Sun and Moon.
I would say Sun and Moon would be a good entry, and I know you don't have a 3DS.
I don't.
But there is talk of them bringing that to Switch.
Oh, okay.
Or a mainline Pokemon entry to Switch, since it's basically a handheld. It's a mobile console.
Right.
So I would see what happens with that.
Okay.
Because they are the most streamlined in terms of gameplay. They basically reduced all this fluff that surrounded the gameplay, and I think they're the best yet.
Cool deal.
So there we go.
You know, I'm going to jump right into another one that you're, I wouldn't say expert on, but you're definitely more knowledgeable of it than I am. Uh-huh, so to me, you're an expert.
Okay.
It's Fire Emblem series.
Fire Emblem.
I think we've talked about this a time or two. Mm. Now, I have one. I have one for
Game Boy Advance, probably.
Game Boy Advance. Yeah. I don't remember what the...
It's not Radiant Dawn. That's the GameCube
subtitle
one.
Of it is. I don't know.
It don't matter.
But, you know, tactical RPG, it's on everything. They have them on, they're one on Famicom, I believe.
Probably.
You know, I own most consoles that there's a Fire Emblem on, so, I mean, I can get it.
No excuse.
Again, a little bit long. That shouldn't be an excuse either. I've been playing Dragon Quest, but I try to limit myself to how many...
Long games you have.
Yeah, at least at once.
Sure. Again, sure.
But indications are that I would like it. It seems like it's right up my alley.
Now, you started playing Advance Wars on this road trip we went on, and you got addicted to it during that trip. I don't know if it lasted.
I got stuck.
All right.
And I got kind of burnt out and being stuck, so I quit. Was it like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like Advance Wars in terms of how you play. It's typical strategy RPG. You've got this grid. You've got this, you know, you've got attack ranges, and then you move in, you do your attacks.
Okay.
And then the enemy gets a turn to do their attacks.
Okay. Yeah, that seems pretty straightforward.
Very straightforward. What's lovely about Fire Emblem is, first of all, especially the newer ones, the voice acting is good. Mm-hmm. Considering it's a localization, the music is fantastic.
Right.
The opening cinematics, the animated cutscenes are lovely.
You showed me those on 3DS. Yeah, they look great.
Just amazing. Mm-hmm. And the gameplay is so good because it sort of kind of mirrors Persona, which is another game on your list, series on your list, which I just spoiled. Sorry about that. It's more like. Like that because you know, you can play with permadeath. So it's a little XCOM-y in that way where, you know, you have these characters that you build these relationships with and they're different classes and you get them the special armor and the special sword and you level them up and then you send them out into battle and they die and then you lose them and then all the relationships that surround him get affected by the death. And,
that sounds neat.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. And, just like if you look at like the Metacritic score of Fire Emblem games, I mean, they're all 90s and up. I mean, it's universally adored. And it's a shame that they're sort of under a lot of people's radar, even still.
Yeah.
Because they're fantastic games.
I'm only
low bar of entry, too, in my opinion. Like, I bought a 3DS and was like, kind of like, I want to play a Mario game, so I'm going to buy a 3DS because I don't really want a Wii. And then I was like, what other games are good? And then I, like, every time I would look it up, it's like Fire Emblem. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. I've never played this game. And I played it, and, like, I was instantly hooked. I knew what I was doing. There's depth there, but there's the bar to entry is very low.
Oh, that's really good, yeah. I think a couple things that turn me off. One is the length, but I can get past that. And two is really just the platforms. Like, I only have a handheld version, and I don't play handheld games for long durations.
Sure.
I kind of want the GameCube and the Path of Radiance, but it's a little pricey.
Yeah. It's like
that'd be my choice 90. If I could get one. Yeah, 60 or 70 complete. But I just, I don't know. I'd like to get into it, though. I'll find a way eventually.
They're good.
Yeah. So what's one that you, all right, well, I guess where should I start? You said low bar of entry, so you're saying it don't really matter where I go in on Fire Emblem.
It really doesn't matter. I mean, the
Game Boy Advance one I have would be fine.
I think that would be fine. All right. I think it's a good game still. I mean, presentation-wise, if you want like the full package, 3DS is where to go because you got Awakening and then you got the two that released last year, the combo pack. If ever you do get a 3DS,
sure. Well, what do you got?
So for me, I have basically, let's start here. Which I'm not a big into horror games in general, but Silent Hill. Now my list. It was a little difficult to come up with because I played a lot of games.
Dabbled, at least.
Exactly. I mean, I've dabbled in most everything, but there's a few I just haven't touched, period. And Silent Hill is one of those. I'd never played a minute of a Silent Hill game.
Huh. Yeah, I've played a little bit of them. I haven't played them in a while. I could be better at them now, but I found them to be somewhat clunky and difficult, especially the older ones. You know, I like The Room a lot. That was fun. I played just the demo of that, and I thought that was great.
Neat.
But when I got out of The Room, it was kind of like old Silent Hill again. I was like, it's just kind of hard. Like, you have to melee combat zombies and stuff, and get kind of tough.
Gotcha.
A lot of fog. The movie's fucking terrible. Have you seen the movie?
No, I know there's two movies.
I've only seen one, the first one. It's basically just called Fog the Movie.
Okay.
There's a lot of fog.
Yeah.
It's just so foggy.
But those of you out there who are listening, if I wanted to play a Silent Hill game, where should I start? Because I would like to, I'd like to try one.
That's a good point. Yeah, I have no recommendation. I have no idea.
I have no idea where to start and on
which
platform.
The room is fun, though. Even if you played just that little demo, it's kind of neat. But as a full Silent Hill series, I don't really know what the marquee is.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never looked it up.
And I would say it'd be hard. If you went back to play like, the PS1 ones, I don't think you'd have fun.
No. But they may be the best one to play, though.
Yeah, I think. Did they remaster? Didn't PS3 really looks like a remaster of a few of them?
Maybe.
I thought they did. Maybe they didn't.
Perhaps.
What else for you?
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Never played one. Yeah. Never played one. And maybe it's an age thing. You know, I'm not really attracted to Goofy and Mickey and Donald all that much. But I do love Final Fantasy World, and I like the whimsy of it, and I like the idea of the crossover and kind of going to these, you know, very specific Disney locales in a Final Fantasy style game. And apparently it's a great game in its own right, you know, independent of the properties that it represents. It's still a good game and good game series. Now the wording of their titles is kind of weird.
Okay.
Like Dream Drop Distance 28 and Thirds Days and all these weird subtitles that they have for all these. And the timeline's kind of weird, apparently. So I'm honestly kind of up in the air about where to start with this one.
It seems like you're already pretty turned off by a lot of it anyway, so it doesn't sound like something you'd probably ever touch.
I doubt it.
But you have some slight intrigue, evidently.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough to where, like, I know people adore these games.
Yeah.
I've talked to many people who just can't wait for the next one because there's one in the pipeline and has been for years. And they're excited about what's going to, you know, happen next and you know, so it's like, okay, this is cool. I'd like to kind of get in on this a little bit, but I don't know that I will.
Yeah. You know, I have one for PS2. I played maybe an hour of it, got the gist, and wasn't really hooked.
Just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
Gotcha. What else you got?
Persona.
Yeah. I didn't know that was on your list.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You, this is one of your favorite franchises. Is it your favorite?
Well, it's probably my favorite JRPGs franchise for sure.
Yeah, it is. You said it's a JRPG and a social sim combination.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is it one of its kind? One of kind? In that regard? Or is there some stuff maybe stuck in Japan we don't know about, probably?
There's probably that. I would say there's that. But it's so different. Like, it's a game on paper that I would never play. But this is sort of similar to what happened when I bought my Vita. I was like, what games are good for Vita? And just at the top of the list was Persona 4 Golden, Persona 4 Golden, Persona 4 Golden. Has like a 98 or 96 on Metacritic. People adore this game. They play it for hundreds of hours. And, you know, you don't have to play it for hundreds of hours, but they do. Because there's like a Game Plus, I think. So anyway, the Persona series as a whole is one that it's so weird and bizarre and fun and lovely and beautiful. And I really can't wait for you to play one. I'm really excited to see what your impression is going to be, because you're probably going to start with 4, right?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah, so they've been around since like 96, which I don't know that I'd even heard of it until maybe I even talked to you, or maybe it just so under my radar that
not a lot of people
never registered. But yeah, I do have 4 for PS2. I've never even seen any of the adaptations for it. Like, there's evidently animes and novels and stage plays and manga and all kinds of stuff. But, and most of them are pretty affordable, too, so that's kind of nice, except for the first one, the PS1 copy.
Makes sense. Like,
a complete copy is like over $100. But do you see there's no need to really play them in order?
No. They're sort of like Final Fantasy in that way, that they're kind of in the same world and universe, but they're not really connected.
Okay. One hurdle is that they are super long, 62, like 100 hours for every entry. They're super, super time consuming.
But they're so cool.
I'm a little skeptical of the term social sim. I don't know if I've ever dabbled in much of that. I don't know if I would.
I mean,
like,
if you played The Sims, that's sort of the same element there. Like, if you've ever built a, like,
that was my least favorite part of The Sims. I just want to make them bang.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to work for it.
Yeah, you just instant gratification.
Just want that bang bang. But I am turned on by the uniqueness and it seems like the tone of it's, you know.
Like, you have to, there's a few things you have to do, in my opinion, at least I had to do, to play the game and enjoy it on a level that I think it should be. One is just to kind of get over the idea of games being serious, I guess. Because this game is not unlike Bayonetta in that it just throws weird shit at the wall a lot.
Okay.
you know, Persona 4, for instance, you're the new kid in the high school, you show up to town, and along with this arrival, these weird murders start happening in the town. Okay.
That's a cool premise.
So you get there, but you still got to do your daily routine. You have to go to school. You have to go to different classes. You can sign up for different clubs after school to build even more relationships. And then on specific days of the week, you have to pay attention to the weather, because when the weather is at a certain point, then you can turn on the TV at a certain time of night and then enter the midnight channel, which is this weird sort of parallel world where there's this disembodied plastic teddy bear that takes you on a journey of self-discovery. So it throws some weird shit at the wall. It's a lot of fun, though. Like I said, you can't take this game very seriously.
I wouldn't dare.
So, but it's great. It's
cool.
Lot of little systems in the game. Plus, there's this whole Velvet Room thing that I haven't even mentioned, and the whole Persona thing and the fusing of personas and creating new ones. And yeah, lots of systems.
Well, Persona 4 is coming up for me. I will have it in there soon.
I can't wait.
Ratchet and Clank. You played one of those?
I have not, and that's actually on my list. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not. I've never played one at all, period.
It's just a cartoony third-person
looks like
shooter
fun.
Platforming adventure series.
It's sort of, for me, sort of like the Mario equivalent on PlayStation. You know,
okay.
It's just a video game, indelibly a video game, not an adaptation, made to be a game, and very gamey.
Yeah, evidently it peaked early, because I think the PS2 versions are regarded as the best entries.
Yeah,
those got like 90% or higher reviews in aggregate.
People love them.
Been a bit on the tilt since. They've not released one that the fans have really...
The most recent one on PS4 is...
Did it do all right?
Yeah, but it was, in a way, just sort of a remake of the first one.
Gotcha.
So I think that's why people liked it.
I guess I'm a little turned off by it. I mean, when I think of... For some reason, when I'm not thinking of Nintendo, I'm not thinking of cartoony characters for some reason. I don't know
that's
why.
Fair.
It's just, that's a kid's game is what I immediately think. Even though I still enjoy
Kirby.
Kirby and Mario and Zelda, but when I see Ratchet and Clank, I'm like, this is just, an excuse to put a shooter mechanic in a kid's game. But, hey, man, it's made by Sony.
Yeah.
You know, so it's quality.
First
people like
shit.
It. It's very affordable. They're all under $10 if you want to put them on the original hardware.
I think even the PS4 version is like $20 right now.
Yeah. So I'm definitely turned on by the affordability, and I think they're pretty short. They take like 9 to 10 hours, 9 to 14 hours.
Yep.
So.
They're a quick in-and-out romp.
So, yeah, I could probably, get one down just to say, hey, I've got this on my
notched,
on my belt. Got this notch.
Notched it real good.
I really can't think of a reason why not to play it, honestly.
Yeah.
No, at least one of them. I think I have... up your arsenal or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? What would it take for you to, you're just not interested at all, or?
It's just not high a priority.
Yeah.
Because I've got some other things in the pipe that I'm really jazzed about that I just haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not moved up the queue.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here. I'm just not excited to play it. It's really the thing.
Which is why probably I haven't played it.
Until
now.
What else for you?
Tales series.
Oh, yeah. I've not touched... I don't know anything about those, to be honest with you.
Now, to say that I've never touched one's not true. I did play Tales of Vesperia a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, maybe 3 or 4 hours, which in a Tales game is not much.
Right.
Scratching the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a long history of Tales games. They've been around for ages, and still releasing up to this, not day, and today wasn't release day for one, but they just released another Tales game on PS4. So it's something that I think is very interesting, because the combat system in the Tales games is very unique to a JRPG, because basically you have battle instances like a Final Fantasy. So,
okay.
You're in an overworld and then you just instance in battle. But it's like basically kind of turns into like a third person action game once you get into battle.
Okay.
Maybe not quite full on fighting, but close to that.
So it's kind of sounding like a little bit like Parasite Eve, like how it would random encounters and it would put you in battle, but it was like active battles.
Yeah, it's active, 100% active. But at the same time, it does still have that sort of JRPG flair to where you will be fighting these giant creatures, and you fight as a party versus versus a common foe or a common foe party. But the games are beautiful. They're very colorful. They're very musically wise, they've always left a big impression to me. I've always liked the music that I've heard in the trailers as well as the game when I played it. So like there's, I want to play these and they're, I don't know how much they're connected. I think they're more connected than Final Fantasy, but I'm not sure how much. I could be wrong about that too.
Yeah, that's a series I've not played. I wouldn't know. I don't know the first thing about them.
Yeah, they're not very common. Actually, some of the older ones, like they're tougher to get.
Yeah.
Like when I got Tales of Vesperia, it was not cheap.
What was it? What's it on?
I think that was on 360.
Oh, okay.
But it was one of the, like it was the first time I ever saw it, so I bought it, and because I wanted to get into those. So yeah.
Gotcha. We have one more here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What you got?
It's a big one, dude. It's a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah.
It's Metal Gear.
Ugh.
Not played a single game in that large-ass series.
Now.
Popular series.
Loved.
Very loved. Dates back, it's hit every single, I won't say platform, but just about every single era of gaming.
Yeah.
It's been a part of.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Maybe it skipped the second generation, but.
It's huge.
Or whatever you call the third generation. I don't know. The 16-bit era, I don't think it was a part of that.
I don't think it was either.
But yeah, you know, Hideo Kojima, man. He's a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, not, I admire him. Not as much as Jeff Keighley, but I admire him.
Yeah.
But I've not played a ton of his games. I'll be quite honest with you. I've not. Snatcher, he had a hand in that. That's a
Did
big
you play Zone
release.
Of the Enders?
Huh?
Did you play Zone of the Enders?
No.
Okay.
I know more about the man than I do his games, to be quite honest with you. I'm very intrigued by that, what's it called, it's coming out, he's doing.
Oh, Death Stranding?
Yeah, that looks.
It looks weird.
Very, extremely.
Excited.
But on that same note, Metal Gear looks weird to me.
Oh, yeah.
And
Very weird.
It seems weird.
That guy just operates on a different level.
Yeah.
He really does. Either that or he's really stupid and everyone thinks he's amazing. I don't think it's that. Because when you play the games, because I've played the one on PS1, I played Sons of Liberty, dabbled in 3, and played Ground Zeroes. So I've played, I guess, part of every generation of it, aside from the first one, which I played a little bit back in the day.
Yeah.
On the NES. But there's so much story there. Lots of cutscenes, lots of dialogue. Lots of weird time hops, cloning. There's just a lot to it. And you can play, people say, I just really don't know what's going on, so I don't play. You're going to play it and still not know what's going on.
Right. And that's kind of a turnoff for me.
But it's still amazing to watch.
Because there's so many entries and then derivatives of each entry.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to keep up with.
It's also an undertaking to play all those.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, they're not short.
And they're... I won't say tedious, but it's stealth action, so it's tedious. Sorry, it's tedious because you're sneaking around. Every stealth game I've ever played is just filled with tedium.
Yeah, they vary in length. They're usually completion is about 10 to 12 hours, but I imagine with a stealth game, it's probably longer than that because you have to retry those segments over and over again.
Yep.
Phantom Pain, I think, is much longer than that.
Phantom Pain is apparently a masterpiece, and I really do want to play it. And it's getting cheaper, so yeah. I may at some point snatch it up.
Most are affordable, $5 to $20 for most of the entries on the original software. I don't know if you can maybe even get them on some backward compatible system if you want to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's any compilations out.
There's a couple of compilations. There was one on PS3 that I think gave you Sons of Liberty, Sons of the Patriots, and Guns of the Patriots on one disc. And then they just released at the end of last year kind of a complete edition of Phantom Pain, which included Phantom Pain and Ground Zeroes and all the DLC. So,
gotcha.
They've got little compilations like that, but I don't think there's one that spans all of it.
Sure. They kind of vary in terms of review scores. I believe it seems like the earlier titles are regarded as being much better than some of the recent ones, with a few exceptions. I think Phantom Pain and Guns of the Patriots were, spikes in that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm assuming it's probably better to start on one of them from the heyday. I don't know.
Yeah, it also depends on where you want to start in the story. Because I think if you want to start at the origin of Solid Snake or Big Boss, I can't remember which one he was called first. Big Boss, I'll go with that. I could be way off. Anyway, I think the first game chronologically is Snake Eater, which was a PSP game.
Okay. Interesting. So I in terms of this game, and typically I cling to chronology. But I don't know that I would even care with this. I would almost just play it just to get my hands on it and see what it's about. But I'm turned off by people say there's like, you know, extremely long cutscenes and the story's wacky. And I see people walking around with like cardboard boxes and shit, or like jumping in and out of barrels and just being completely weird. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, it's not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's wacky. It's just not. It's not like it sort of walks that line between being wacky and tacky, because like Bayonetta is like just
wacky
as fuck. And it's okay because, you know, it's intentional, but then you go to Metal Gear Solid and it's like, you know, Cold War espionage and military bases and cloning and androids and cyborgs and all this weird shit and people that can vanish. And then you're walking around in a cardboard box with a picture of a pinup girl on the side distracting people while you're getting into position. You know, it's like, it doesn't really fit.
Right. And I think that's the little elements like that where I'm like, I don't know if that's for me.
Yeah. But we'll see. Fun, though.
I'm definitely definitely turned on by the strong and pervasive characters like Solid Snake. He seems like a well-liked hero and protagonist, and people kind of dig it. And I kind of want to dig it. I mean, I want to do what people like. I want to get in on that. I want to like him.
Yeah. Yeah, he threw a lot of people for a big old curve when he started on Sons of the Patriots in Metal Gear Solid 2, I guess, where he played as Raiden, because no one had a clue that you're going to be playing as Raiden in this game.
No idea what you said.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that means, but maybe I should, you know?
Basically, everyone expected to be playing Solid Snake again, and you don't.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
It's kind of like the moment in Halo 2 when you start playing as the Arbiter.
Right.
Except that's all you did in this game was play as Raiden. You never switched back to Snake.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of intrigue there, just a lot of mystique, a lot of weird stuff I would like to get to know, but where do you start when something's just, you know, that heavy?
I'm sure there's a guide if you actually wanted to.
Yeah, probably.
It exists.
I do kind of want to. I totally want to dabble with the NES one a little bit, even though you're not going to get any of the same experiences you would with some of the modern day ones, or at least the 3D ones.
No.
But I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm intrigued. I'd try it out.
Cool.
So that's it, man.
Yeah. For me. That's it for me. That's all I got, buddy. All
right. Does that do it then?
I think that did it.
Hey, if you guys would like to inform us on where to start in some of these series, that'd be great.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, yeah. Hit us on Twitter or maybe reach out to us at polykillpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us and message us on Facebook, facebook.com/polykillpodcast.
Hey, boy.
Individually on Twitter, I am at TrapPlaysGames.
I am at the McAxel.
And please rate us on iTunes or whatever you use. Find us on the cartridgeclub.org, short for organism, of course.
Orgasm.
We're on the forums there. The forums there are good. Get on there. Polykill.com is where you'll find everything that we've ever done. Videos, written word, audios. And I think that's it.
That's
YouTube.
It,
yeah. Visit our lonely-ass YouTube channel.
Do that thing. Nobody seems to like
it. We'll catch you in episode 37.
37 coming up next.
Peace.
Peace.